And welcome back to the Liberal Dan Radio Minicast. This is a special episode that I'm doing all about baseball. And one of those sports that I've loved since a kid, before football, before basketball, has been baseball. My first memory of the Baltimore Orioles was Cal Ripken catching the game-winning out to win the World Series. That's the last time they won the World Series, but I've been a fan ever since, and I always try and make it to games, although it's been harder to do so, being that I live in New Orleans, and when I go up normally is in November when the season is over with. I usually never am able to find myself in Orlando to be close enough to Tampa to be able to go to a Baltimore Orioles game down there. The best I've been able to do is there was one year, the first year that the Houston Astros made it to and switched to, I should say, the American League. They came down around Memorial Day. I took a drive out with my oldest, and we went to see a couple of games over at, I think it's Minute Maid Park at that point. So, it's always been a love of mine. I'm a diehard Saints fan. I probably watch more Saints games a year now than I do watch Orioles games because they're so hard to watch in this area. They're not in the, not on local TV unless they're playing somebody who is in the local TV network. Sometimes Orioles games will get put on ESPN, but with how badly the Orioles have been doing recently, it's hard for me to, you know, find any such games on the television. But when I find one, I will sit and I'll watch it. And, you know, it's, even if they lose, you know, I'm still going to cheer them on. I probably even went to more basketball games at some point, because I mean, I love watching basketball. I love watching football. Basketball, I need to watch that Michael Jordan documentary that's on. I've heard very good things about it. I really want to check that out. Football, one of the things I'm hoping for is that this social distancing can end enough that will enable the football season to happen. Maybe they might have to play to empty stadiums as well. Who knows? But at the end of the day, I do want to see my Saints play. But again, this is all about baseball. And why, you know, I like baseball. I don't know if you'd call me a purist, so to speak, but I am definitely one of the people that can appreciate some of the finer things in a baseball game. There are some people who will be bored to tears watching baseball simply because of the fact that they'll be watching there and it's a no-hitter. Well, watching a no-hitter is great. I mean, the drama, the tension builds up. Perfect game. Ooh, you sit there and you're just waiting for the pitcher to see if he's going to actually accomplish the goal, if he's going to accomplish this with the rest of his team. Now, sometimes no-hitters and perfect games are because of aid from the other fielders. And let's say you're six innings into a no-hitter and or a perfect game, and there's a long fly ball, and the guy catches it, saves the perfect game. You know, that's great. That's probably even more fun than watching a grand slam. Granted, I love the home run derby, too. I will sit there and watch the home run derby every year when I can. I love it. It's a fun thing to watch. I'm a supporter. I'll probably not be called a purist simply because of the fact that I see no issue with a designated hitter position. A lot of people don't like designated hitter. They want their pitchers to bat. Pitchers typically are not the best batters there are. I was enjoyed when interleague play started and you would see things like Roger Clemens would come out and he'd be wearing almost full body armor down the side of his body simply to protect himself from getting beamed by a pitch. And he would get on base. And there are some pitchers who could hit. I mean, go back in the day, Babe Ruth was a pitcher. He had 20 win seasons. He wasn't just a mediocre pitcher. He had 20 win seasons. So, you know, I just love all the aspects of the game. And a friend of mine had shared a post, name your top five baseball players of your lifetime and then nominate four people to do the same. And it was very hard to name five. It was very hard to name five because there are just so many that are out there who I could name that I would find a reason to love. There's Chris Davis or Crush Davis, player for the Orioles recently. He didn't have his best years recently, but when the Orioles were actually back in the thick of things and threatening to make a run, he was an exciting player to watch. There were, you know, Manny Machado, again, before he got his attitude. A lot of players have attitudes, but I'll get to that in a second. It was very exciting when I got to go down to Houston and watch the Orioles play, and I was very close to Manny. But the five players that I listed, number one, Cal Ripken. Cal Ripken Jr., absolutely my favorite baseball player of all time. Not just because he was my introduction to baseball. That's what I remember, is him catching that final out. And then me running around the house like a crazy person, like I knew what the hell I was talking about. But, I mean, his work ethic. Every day, showing up, consecutive games in a row. I think when that happened, I was my freshman year of college, so I made sure to go down to the bar in the college and watch that game. Nothing was going to stop me from watching that game. Then, of course, there was, you know, him surpassing the number of games in a row by the Japanese ball player to cement that he was the Iron Man, so to speak. So, and Eddie Murray also made my list. You know, just, he was just another fan favorite of the Baltimore fans. You'd go to Old Memorial Stadium and you'd watch Eddie Murray, you know, get up to bat, and all the crowd would be like, Eddie. And just, he was such a good first baseman, a good hitter. You know, Cal Ripken would bat third typically, Eddie Murray would bat fourth. So it was interesting. I found that interesting about Barry Bonds, and Barry Bonds did not make my list, and it was close. There were some people who, in that my friend's page, did list Barry Bonds up there, and watching his run to clobber the home run record, 72 home runs that he made, watching him defeat or beat the Hank Aaron 755, you know, those two things were very exciting to watch. And Barry Bonds, even if you ignore the allegations of steroids and all that stuff, you retire him before the steroid scandals start. He was a 2020 guy, 20 home runs, 20 stolen bases. He was a Hall of Fame baseball player before that even started. So I do think that he probably belongs in the Hall of Fame, but he's not getting listed in my top five because there's just other people. Now, Mark McGwire, he is in my top five. I think he retired when they started banning the substance that he was probably allegedly taking, which is amusing. But, you know, back when, you know, the Orioles weren't doing as great, remember they always had the one season where they started off with like 20 some odd losses in a row. And oddly enough, I think two seasons ago, the Orioles had a worse record at the end of the season than they did that season. They played decent ball the rest of the year. They just were in such a hole they couldn't get out of it. This past season or two ago, they had a worse record overall, which is pretty bad. But some of those years, I'd, you know, enjoy watching other things. I'd be an American League kind of fan, where for the longest time, except for New York, maybe I might have cheered for, if Baltimore didn't make it out of the American League, I was rooting for the American League representative in the World Series. It's just how I rolled. It's how I felt. So I voted. I rooted for the Red Sox. I think it was in 85. Obviously they lost. I cheered for the Red Sox in 2004. Yeah, it was 2004 when they had the comeback. And I remember cheering for the Bash Brothers in the World Series. Mark McGwire, Jose Canseco. So Mark McGwire, you know, with just his gigantic arms and just smashing the hell out of the ball. His race with Sammy Sosa. I told somebody at the beginning of that season, I was like, Mark McGwire is going to hit 70 home runs this year. And they didn't believe me. And I was like, I should have bet. I should have made that bet. I should have bet you $100 right now. Should have went to the casino and been like, I want to bet that Mark McGwire is going to hit 70 home runs this year. Should have done it. Never did. Ken Griffey Jr. Ken Griffey Jr. would probably have the home run record if it wasn't for his injuries. Just an outstanding player. Absolutely outstanding player. Great fielder. Great just all-around player. Just injury prone. So injury prone that it's just almost depressing when you think about how much he could have accomplished had he not had those injuries. But, I mean, his pure skill puts him up there. Wade Boggs is my fifth. And the reason why Wade, but there are more exciting hitter people out there. I could have said people like Pete Rose. I do think Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame. I don't believe that him betting on his team was problematic. I mean, if you're betting against your team, yeah, sure. But I don't have a problem with him betting for his team. Even, I mean, it's technically against the rules, but there are a lot of people that did things against the rules and probably harmed the game much more than Pete Rose did. Plus, Charlie Hustle, he hustled. He got all those hits. I mean, he has to me that just it proves he's deserving to be in the Hall of Fame. But Wade Boggs, I mean, he would get out, but he hardly ever struck out. He had such good, you know, sense of where the ball was and kept his eye on the ball. And that's one thing. Like, if you're teaching your kids, I remember my dad used to teach me to keep my eye on the ball or tell me to keep my eye on the ball. And I had no idea what he was talking about. It didn't make any sense to me. I would watch the ball come in, and then I would never move my head. So I've been able to, I guess when my sons have been in Little League, I've taught them what it means to keep your eye on the ball, follow the ball all the way through the bat, and swing the bat all the way through the ball. And it got to the point where my son, who is not the fastest kid out there, but up until maybe last season, he would end up batting first. And the reason why he batted first is not because of his speed, it was because he had a good eye. And he would know when to lay off the pitch and when to swing. I think he ended the season, like maybe the last 15 games, with an on-base percentage of 100%. 1,000% is the on-base percentage. 1,000, he had 1,000 on-base percentage, 1.000. Because he would always walk. Wade Boggs. He either walked or he would ground out. He wouldn't strike out. Because he had such good hand-eye coordination. He had such good ways to, you know, just so good at hitting the ball. So good at knowing the strike zone. Knowing how to handle his being a leadoff batter. So other players that Tim Wakefield. I didn't have any pitchers on my list. I felt that, you know, there are some interesting things in history, pitching-wise. I mean, it has to be from my lifetime. Was it Randy Johnson? Look up the video of Randy Johnson hitting the pigeon. Just, it's amazing. Just, and then look up him replicating the hitting the pigeon, like, with a fake pigeon. And, again, more, just amazing. Just how it happened, just this bird exploded in feathers because Randy Johnson's fastball just hit it as it was crossing the plate. The odds of that happening are just so infinitesimal, but they happened. It happened. So, what interesting things about, like, I've been to a lot of baseball games. I've never been on the big screen, which my wife laughs at me for because I brought my family to a game in a summer when I was up in Maryland, and her and my oldest son was being a little impatient, so she took him to go play on the playground equipment, and they put her up on the big screen, and I've never been on the big screen, so my wife never lets me live that down. I've never been on the big screen. I've never had a ball I've never been able to been in a situation where I was where I could catch a ball. The closest one ever came to me, it was a couple players, a couple people down. I think it hit my dad's foot. And that's where it kind of rolled and hit my dad's foot, and someone else managed to get it. I've never been in a situation where I've been able to catch a ball at a baseball game. It's frustrating as all get out. I was like, why don't they come my way? And I've sat all around the stadium. I've sat behind home plate. I've sat in the outfield. I've sat in, you know, first base side, third base side. Just never came close to me being able to catch a ball. Just don't understand it. Just, again, odds of that happening and not happening. But again, I put Tim Wakefield up there just because it's amazing to watch people have to deal with knuckleballs. Knuckleballs are an amazing thing. Just the way they move, the way that you would not think that such a slowly thrown ball would be so problematic to hit. Yet it is. People can't hit it. It's hard, you know, it's either because people are used to the fast pitching, so they want to swing faster and they don't, but there's also, it moves really weird. Another pitcher I might have put up there, maybe I'm just a little bitter over the fact that Mike Mussina went to New York, the evil empire, because again, that's when I started hating New York, especially after the Jeffrey Mayer incident. Let's talk about we'll talk about that after the break, but when Mike Mussina went to New York, yeah, it's kind of a turncoat, but one of my guys I knew as a freshman or sophomore in college, he just would talk about Mike Mussina until he was blue in the face, and how amazing Mike Mussina was, because he would throw this pitch that would curve up. And I always remember him saying, his pitches curve up. How does that happen? How do they curve up? So his pitches curve up. Anyway, let's go ahead, take a little break, pay the bills, and come back, and I'll talk about the whole Jeffrey Mayer thing, and then the other person who was in my honorable mentions, who might have made my top five had he been a more full-time player, but it's a great story, and I would love to be able to tell this to him in person. One day I'd love to be able to meet this guy, tell him in person what happened that day or two that made me just went from despising him to thinking he was awesome. Do you support Liberal Dan Radio? Would you like to see more content on YouTube, like parodies or live reactions to Trump and his press conferences? Do you want to hear more bits on the podcast or minicast? If so, head on over to patreon.com/liberaldan. You can be a Patreon for as little as $3, or even sponsored an hour of the show. Any level will earn you a shout out, so head on over to patreon.com/liberaldan and support the show today.
Greetings, this is Nimbus Yosh, host of the Percy Podcast. What is the Percy Podcast? Well, it's pretty much the smoothest talking host you'll ever hear in your life, talking about all kinds of things. Political things, nerdy things, fun things, not so fun things. Go ahead, give a listen, and follow at the Percy Podcast for more updates and information. Why not sit back and take a listen to one of the best podcasts you'll ever hear, and no one else will. Catch you on the tunes.
Corruption, greed, xenophobia, white supremacy, a nation in the grips of a pandemic, healthcare resources strained to their limits, an economy on the brink of collapse, and at the helm, a clueless con artist who cares more about his own re-election over saving lives. Join Liberal Dan Radio, talk from the left that's right, live Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Central on blogtalkradio.com/liberaldan and 24/7 at liberaldan.com. We must unite to save this country in spite of this buffoon's ineptitude before it's too late.
And welcome back to the Liberal Dan Radio minicast. Talk from the left, that's right. although we're not talking much politics today, talking about baseball. And one of the people that I wanted to talk about, I'll get to him in a second, but something that just came up was the whole Jeffrey Mayer incident. Now, if you don't remember what happened in that playoff series, the Orioles were ahead in this game, and they looked like they were probably going to win this game, and they had a great season, and things were looking up. We were going to get another World Series victory on behalf of the Baltimore Orioles, for the city of Baltimore, and all the fans, especially for all the people rooting against the Yankees. I was down at The Boot, a bar right close to Tulane University here in New Orleans, and the bar was about evenly split. Yankees fans, Orioles fans, or Orioles fans and people that hated the Yankees and just didn't want to see the Yankees win. Comes up. I forget who it was that hit the ball. I think it was Jeter? I don't know. Ball's long fly ball out to deep right field. Tarasco is at the warning track. Has his hand up. I think he maybe makes a little bit of a jump up to get the ball. But out comes the outstretched arm of a 13-year-old kid named Jeffrey Mayer. Brings the ball in. The umpire calls it a home run. Tarasco is jumping up, pointing at the kid. They had replay on it. Now, I don't think at the time they did instant replay, but the manager came out and was like, it was fan interference. It should be an out. Fan interference should be an out. But it was ruled a home run. Tied up the ball game, I think. Or made sure that the inning didn't end, at least. And the Yankees went on to win that game, and then they went on to win that series. And I think they probably won the World Series as well. But oof, I don't know if I've ever hated a child as much as I hated that child at the time. And he's, you know, I think he tried to go into baseball. I don't think he was very successful. Should have landed himself a spot in the front office with the Yankees, giving him a World Series ring. Thank you, kid. If it wasn't for you, might not have made it. So, ugh, what a pain. Anyway, so this second portion of this baseball-themed minicast, I'm going to bring up, you know, a player who I used to think thought it was cocky in football. I thought it was cocky in baseball. And it wasn't, I mean, part of the fact was I didn't like the Cowboys. And then, you know, I played for the Dirty Birds, too. But I didn't have as much of a hatred for the Dirty Birds, the Atlanta Falcons, then as I do now. But, I mean, even I think in the early 2000s, I didn't hate the Falcons as much as I do now. I mean, I used to, you know, before the whole dog fighting scandal, I used to actually like Michael Vick. But Deion Sanders was, you know, he'd play football and he would play baseball and he would lead off. And I was reading an article in the newspaper in the local Times-Picayune in New Orleans, and I was reading the sports section and they were interviewing Deion Sanders, and the guy questioned him. He said, "Look, you swing a lot. You know, your first ball pitches, you know, you don't try and walk to get onto base. Getting on base as much as other people in your position would normally. You're not gonna swing at stuff that maybe might be called a ball. If you're a leadoff batter, you want to try and draw that in the leadoff walk. You're not trying to hit the ball." And his response was, "It doesn't matter if I walk or I get a hit, because I'm going to steal second and then I'm going to steal third." And I'm sitting there reading this article like, this cocky SOB. I mean, that's just ridiculous. Here is somebody who's a writer of sports, who's asking a legitimate question, and you gotta pull out this cocky crap? No. So the very next day, I went and I got my sports section, and I was like, let's see what this asshole did. Let's see what Deion Sanders did today in the most recent game that he played. I looked at the box score. He had 4 bats with 2 hits, no walks, no extra base hits, and 4 stolen bases. Which meant that half the time he got up to the plate that game, he did not walk. He instead got a single, and then he stole second, and then he stole third. Both times. And I was like, you know what? That's the difference between cocky and confidence. Cocky is you run your mouth without any evidence that you can back it up. Confidence, you tell people what's going to happen because you know you can do it. That's what Deion Sanders was. He was confident. He knew his ability. He knew what he would do. He knew that he didn't have to be your typical leadoff batter because he was going to do it his way, and it didn't matter how he got on base because he was going to steal a bunch more. That's what he did. And not only can I not fault him for saying it, I can applaud him for saying that. And I'm willing to say, you know what, I was wrong. You do you. You play like you want to play. You live your best life. And you can silence your critics any day of the week. I stand up and applaud that. Absolutely. So anyway, let's go ahead and make an end for this week's episode, or this day's episode. I'll probably have another one by the end of the week. If you want to, again, follow me on... I'm on facebook.com/liberaldan, liberaldan.com, @liberaldanradio on Twitter. You can support the podcast by going to patreon.com/liberaldan. You can sign up for an Anchor account here and subscribe to the podcast. Get notifications whenever I post a new one, or the minicast, I'm sorry. You can go to blogtalkradio.com/liberaldan and register for a free account there and be notified whenever a new episode is up and that you can listen to as well. You can also call in to those episodes live. These, you also have the ability to leave me a minute message, and I'm be more than happy to get back to you as well. So please stay safe, stay at home when you can, be socially distant, and take care of yourself, take care of your family, be healthy. Peace.